We're good to go.
So we'll go ahead and start Law Enforcement Advisory Committee meeting for Tuesday, August 29th. Steve, would you call to order and take roll call, please?
Okay. John Whitman.
Here.
Eric Reynolds.
Here.
Jay Wasserman.
He's going to miss tonight.
Mike Felix.
Here.
Richard Mert.
Yep.
Tom Dodge.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Colacott.
Here.
Councilman Rossini.
Here.
Wayne Cizell.
Here.
Lieutenant Puckett.
Here.
Myself.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. I see we have some folks here in the audience tonight. Anything that you'd like to address with the committee tonight? Okay. So we'll take a look at the minutes from June 20th and see if anyone sees anything on there they don't like and see if we can approve them.
For the record, what department?
Got to figure out which phone first.
Okay, everyone had a chance to take a look at them?
Yeah.
They look good? Anyone got a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, minutes are approved.
Vote.
I think you need a voice vote.
Yeah, I think.
You good with that?
Two.
Any objection?
No objection seen, so we'll approve them. Okay, so we'll move on to new business. So we'll, item A is regarding transients. It's a new issue, just an update on it, and measures being taken by the Sheriff's Department to address it. So I'll
yeah, this is an item that I asked to be added to the agenda. I know I've observed a number of transients throughout town. You know, there have always been a couple of transients floating through, but it seems to be increasing, and I'm getting a lot of reports from residents about transients. I know I've one of the incidents was there was a transient over on San Diego on the west side. Ultimately laid down on the sidewalk and went to sleep on the sidewalk. Other transients have been, one resident reported that there are a number of transients that are moving down Villa Park Road going from west to east. I know I've in the past observed transients hanging out or spending the night in the Villa Park Little League dugouts, at least on the majors field.
Or on the high school?
At the Cerevelo Middle School.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, if they spend the night there, there's no sanitary facilities available, so that's not a good thing. And also recently I understand that at the concert a couple Fridays ago that a transient was inebriated and went up and fell asleep on the stage. Our sheriff deputies responded to that. Anyway, it seems like there's an increasing presence. Oh, also I got another report from a couple of residents that there are some transients that are hanging out in this area in front of City Hall. You know, we don't have any encampments yet, but we're starting to see more traffic coming through Villa Park, and maybe rather than waiting for a problem, you know, what can we do, or what can the sheriff deputies do, what can Neighborhood Watch do to help us so that we don't develop a transient issue in our city?
Okay. Lieutenant Puckett, you weigh in here? Do you? I know some of this. I know a lot of the cities are dealing with this problem. I think I remember reading something about the sheriff's department's had some homeless liaison task force and other things they've been trying to do. And I think we've all seen stuff as far as the board of supervisors has approved new homeless shelters and that type of stuff. But anything else you might be able to add?
So this is a pretty complicated issue. And what I will say is this: number one, I think we all are aware that there's a pretty large transient population in the Santa Ana Riverbed. But as of Friday, that just became my problem. And I can assure you, you're going to see a significant change in that area in a positive way. But the thing is, I'll tell you that I am not authorized to talk about Sheriff's Department business outside the city of Villa Park. So we'll leave it to Villa Park. Now, the Sheriff's Department's stance per federal court order is homelessness is not a crime. So let me repeat that. Homelessness is not a crime, nor will we persecute or single anybody out for being homeless. But what we will do is offer a program that is coupled with enforcement and outreach to afford these people the help that they need. In terms of any type of transient population in the city, there are no encampments in this city. I will tell you that right now as a fact. I would suggest that if the dynamic changes, it may behoove us to have the LEAC, instead of making a meeting on a Tuesday night, maybe we do it on a Saturday morning, we do a visual tour of the city, because a lot of times, and this is no different what the problem is, the residents will always see more than law enforcement does because they live here 24/7. So that maybe there's things that we're missing, but in terms of a transient population walking through the city, we will treat them just like everybody else. And what I would encourage is that the citizens see suspicious behavior, call us, and let us investigate. Now, in terms of the municipal codes that the city has that could be an avenue to prevent encampments, we have an excellent municipal code already on the books, Section 5-11.1, which deals with sitting or lying on public ways. This is something that would be a tool. What I would caution you is a tool that we would use sparingly, simply because, similar to different Orange County codified ordinances, we don't want to lose them on federal injunction because they're being used strictly to persecute the homeless. So my suggestion would be is if we're going to say this, particularly in a public forum on public record, is simply let the public know that when they see suspicious activity of any kind, to notify the Sheriff's Department or let our deputies conduct a proper investigation and determine whether or not criminal activity has occurred.
Many of us are familiar with the homeless encampments like at the Riverbed and also at the downtown Santa Ana and the Civic Center. Those are public properties, and there's very little public property in Villa Park. It's basically this, the Serrano Water District facilities and so forth. So if a transient sets up housekeeping on private property, is it up to the private property owner to address that, or?
Correct. So when it comes to that, with anybody, let's take the word transient out of the mix, but with anybody, you could go over to Councilman Rossini's house and decide that you want to start living on his front lawn, and maybe he allows it. But you're right, it's up to the individual homeowner,
security guard,
so to speak. Trespassing laws are pretty clear about that, but you have to have a victim, so to speak. And I think that's one thing that Villa Park is fortunate about that has allowed us to escape a multitude of issues outside of the one that we're talking about, is the fact that it's darn near 100% built out and it's mostly private property, which allows us to escape a lot of the problems that other cities are seeing. So it's an excellent point.
So some of the homeless people liaisons that the Sheriff's Department's created in some portions of their jurisdictions, is there one available for North Orange County that could be potentially used here in Villa Park that could respond and try to help address these issues at all?
No.
There's not.
And the reason why I say that is traditionally that was, every contract city has dedicated one person as an ancillary duty as a homeless liaison officer. And the main goal of that was to provide outreach. But unfortunately, Villa Park has the leanest budget of any contract city, and you only have one deputy on really at any given time. But what I can assure you is, My position as a North Patrol Bureau Commander affords me assets for all of unincorporated North Orange County, which includes 42 unincorporated islands, the city of Villa Park, and the canyon areas for a total of 154 square miles. And the assets at my disposal from there in the past traditionally have been used to bolster Villa Park Police Services. So while I cannot officially dedicate an HLO to the city, I can temporarily reassign one for any issues that may pop up.
So homelessness is not a crime, we understand that. What if they, and it's going to be based on any behavior that they do?
Warrants.
What if they're out there soliciting? Because cars are leaving the parking lot out here. I've seen that a few times.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe impeding traffic, that type of thing.
Right. I think what it's going to boil down to is, and you know this from being in the industry, it's on a case-by-case basis. So I'm reluctant to make a blanket statement because the courts have used recent endeavors that any crimes that are associated with homelessness that are almost victimless, there's a lot of reluctance towards prosecution there. But what I will tell you is, and I think this goes without saying, is the Sheriff's Department, just like every police department, Sheriff's Department of the nation, has an obligation to protect the constitutional rights of all parties involved. And that means the person panhandling and the person that's being walking down the sidewalk that's getting hassled by the panhandler. Does that make sense? So we're looking at for a more holistic approach like that.
I also think, though, that one of the biggest things is that anytime the Sheriff's Department's going to get called to go check this out, they're going to take care of it. It's going to impede them. I mean, I would think 90% of the time when the sheriff goes and talks to somebody that is out, you know, like to take the transient word out of it, just the person that's, you know, out looking kind of suspicious, they're leaving. They're going to leave. Whether the sheriff arrests them, doesn't arrest them, they're going to leave. The problem you have in Villa Park, like I can guarantee everybody in this room, is when there is a problem, how many phone calls do you get? They don't get them. The Sheriff's Department doesn't get them. I get phone calls saying, hey, you know, there's a guy sleeping in a hammock down the street from, you know, on Fetchin. That's great. Call the Sheriff's Department, give them a description, tell them, hey, it's a suspicious person. Once that happens, that person's going to leave. They're not going to stay. They don't want to talk to the Sheriff's Department. The problem is in this city is that people don't call.
That's right.
I'm almost
That's
guaranteed right. that people don't call. So maybe a campaign that says, hey, you know, just like we had, what's that big, see something, say something. It's almost like the city needs something like that. Obviously, that's going to generate more calls for you. So not.
We're not worried. Well, we'll take on the additional call volume.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you the Sheriff's Department is going to choose to sit this one out in terms of a campaign with that, because the traditional modes that we would push something out like that would be via social media, which the majority of citizens in this city are reluctant to use.
No, so, I mean, as a city, they should get that out. Not necessarily your job.
I would go with
as the city's job to get out. You know, a couple pamphlets to some houses isn't a big deal. You know, I don't know how many users are on the Villa Park.
Feeder.
I don't know.
It's probably 100 in the hundreds.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem in Villa Park. And, you know, I get phone calls. Someone crashed into a tree. It was the loudest thing I ever heard. They called me. 2 o'clock in the morning, they called me. I'm like, what are you calling me for?
Right.
Now, granted, there's only a couple people on the street that do that. But,
right.
you know, it's call the Sheriff's Department. It's not, you know, Orange PD came over and handled it. Obviously, the Sheriff's Department got there. But that's because they weren't called. It wasn't because the Sheriff's Department didn't go. The Sheriff's Department was never called. Orange PD was called, and I was called, and, you know, somebody else. But the bottom line is that the city needs to do a little bit more work on how people.
And Wayne and Mary have been instrumental in trying to educate
yes.
everyone in the neighborhoods
Absolutely.
to try to learn that. And you know, they'll keep talking till they're blue in the face. And we just got to hope that we get the change. It's not for lack of effort. It's
no,
just,
I know.
You know, I mean,
maybe the city's got to take a bigger role in maybe sending everybody in the city. I mean, what is it? How many mailboxes are there? 1,900 or something? Yeah, send it out and put it in the mail. You know, send it on the feeder.
Well, I think this is where PSRs and some of the flyers now, we've made it the one flyer as far as the, property crimes go. Maybe we can, if the transient issue gets there, maybe another one to come up to talk about the issues that the lieutenant brought up, that it's not a crime, that only the peripheral activity outside of that, because probably a lot of the public probably thinks homelessness is a crime or, you know, and it's not always the
right.
case.
Right, and
so.
The Sheriff's Department's not going to, you can only do what the Sheriff's Department
right.
do. But just the mere fact that they went out and talked to him,
right.
it's going to solve 90% of the problem.
And it's nice to know there is a resource that he has available if we get a certain area that's really being flooded with transients. It doesn't does sound like there is some avenues to pursue if it gets to that point. Right now, it sounds like it's a little more sporadic and maybe not concentrated in a single area at this point. So I don't know if anyone's got any new items to put on that. I would say at this point, we just continue to monitor it and see where it goes. And I think the biggest thing is getting these people the help they need. You know, there's plenty of resources out there. Maybe some of them don't know about some of the new shelters the Board of Supervisors has created. I mean, it's, I know a lot of them don't like it because they can't smoke, they can't drink, they can't do a lot of things they like to do, but, you know, it does at least get them off the street and protects them a little bit, so. Anyone else got anything on that one? Okay, we'll move on to item B then, National Night Out, OCSD overview. I know I was there. It was a good turnout. Looked like everyone there had a good time. It was very informative. I think, Wayne, you guys got a few new signups. Opinions? Lieutenant, what did you think?
I thought the night was a success. There were a couple obstacles to overcome. I think for future endeavors, one thing I would ask specifically for this group is we need to figure out some type of mechanism, perhaps reach out to the Rotary Club to establish a fund for the incidentals that the county and the city can't cover by law. Food would be a good example. I have a lot of love for this community, which is why I've personally gone out of pocket on multiple events to pay for these things to happen. But a weird thing is happening where my kids want to go to college. And we need to figure out some way that $40 here, $50 there, and the Rotary has said they'll step up. But I'm going to tell you, my time is extremely pressed these days with ongoing projects outside of the city. So I would ask, one of the functions of this group is if we want to continue to have these events in the city, maybe behoove us to have a representative that can reach out to the Rotary group to help establish some type of donation fund to continue these projects.
And I know Anita was reaching out to different people. And we
and the thing is, like Anita's, that's really not her function, because right. This city does not pay for Anita at all. It's not even an ounce in the overhead.
Right.
And again, she functions as a crime prevention specialist for 42 other areas. And we let her have come in to help with Hill Park, because I can't do it all on my own. But what I'd ask is, even with our, I'm hoping we have a chance to talk about this in here as well, our ongoing school safety efforts at Villa Park High School, those people need to be fed. That's me feeding them. So whatever we can do with the Rotary Club, I would truly, truly, truly appreciate it. Nobody step up all at once.
I don't understand the problem.
We have that community.
I must be messing this up.
To feed who?
Support Foundation, too.
Yeah, National Night Out.
Foundation.
Yeah. Popcorn and things like that. Part of a draw to bring in citizens.
And Steve, do you see any issues with the foundation?
To paying trying to people that are here and lunch? Help out with.
They, no, like I go to they the grocery have store to decide what they would do.
I understand that, but from a legal standpoint.
No. I mean, they've got money
to do. Oh, the volunteers that come to it.
Correct.
Gotcha.
The citizens that show up for it.
Yeah, I would say that the Rotary Club and the community support.
I mean,
who's the one that's running the big fireworks stand over there at the shopping center every year?
Rotary.
You know, so, I mean, where is that funding going?
Yeah,
that's what it's
being used for. That just
needs. You had the foundation, they should be doing something.
I would think so. I mean,
all they do is spout off, mouth off.
I think that no one has approached. I told Mary, I said, what are we to do? We need to get the advertisement out. What should we do? So Anita is going to take care of that. All we have to do is the city and the county are going to work together. And while we get, they're going to provide us with a booth or a table, you know. And that was all I recognized as our part. Now, I feel badly that you came out of pocket. And I'll gladly contribute your $50 right now to offset whatever cost you incurred, because I don't have kids going to college. So.
Well, listen, we do this because we have a lot of love for the citizens in this community, and we'll continue to do it. What I would ask is a more holistic approach for these events, that perhaps we can informally nominate a representative, because the Rotary has indicated they want to step up and be part of the outreach effort here as well, too. And I'd like to just see if we can possibly tap into that.
Well, I think it's time to reach out to them and see if they want to put their money where their mouth is. So I think
the Rotary and the Foundation need to be contacted directly by a committee member rather than a council person.
Yes, I really think we can. I know the Rotary would be very positive to help. They enjoyed it. They had a good booth, and they had a lot of attendance there.
Right.
So we'll just get organized.
So the question is, our local merchants in the town center really didn't kick anything
towards that event at all?
I don't know how aggressively we pursue that,
okay.
Simply because time is a luxury that my staff does not possess.
Because I would think between Rotary and Community Support Foundation and the merchants in the shopping center.
But what I'd ask is maybe we could informally have somebody step up that in the future could kind of take the lead with that type of very minuscule fundraising.
Well, I will do that.
Okay.
And number every single merchant was contacted by us, Mary or myself, and I received nothing but very positive response. And had we known that we needed a little money to make it work, we'd have certainly asked for it from certainly the banks. Isn't that where the money is? Anyway, I'm sure we're not talking about a lot of money here.
No.
We're talking about, at the most, $500.
Oh, not even that. $50 here, $100 there.
And I could go around this table and collect that.
Oh, which, like that, that's
yeah. Yeah. Well, wait a minute, these guys probably.
No.
No, just kidding. But I do think we can do it, and I will take on the task and see that.
So do you mind reaching out to Community Support Foundation or Rotary Club as well and explain some
Women's
of their...
Club, too?
Hmm?
Women's Club.
Oh, Little Park Women's Club. Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea as well.
I mean, they're looking, you know, at the end of the year, these nonprofits are looking for a place to put their money.
So do you want to be the liaison on that then, Wayne, besides the merchants? You know, maybe
if
make
I
contact.
Can stand the flag, I'll do it.
Well, you got that gift of gab, and you got the tact to make it happen. I know you do.
I'll give you a hand with that.
Will you?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So actually, we have a third councilman who's here, but the Brown Act precludes him from participating in the discussion. And he's a member of Rotary, and he's also our representative on the Community Services Foundation. And I'm sure that councilman will. Coordinate with the Community Services Foundation Rotary to help out with the National Night Out.
And his wife is on the Women's League board.
So.
I've already sent a text.
Thank you.
I tell you, I'm convinced, you know, this community has a reluctance to be in social media, and that's fine. So I am convinced that it's activities like National Night Out that truly let us get out the message like we were talking about. And we're more than happy to continue doing more of those types of things, because I think that's the key to this city. It's just through this committee and working with Rotary and everything else in terms of making it.
Well, weather worked against us a little bit too, and we've had a larger turnout.
It did.
Rained all day. Right up until it.
The only rain we've had in 4 months.
Yeah, rained all the way up until that thing started.
It did. I was a little nervous.
Okay. Any other issues on that? All right, we'll move on to monthly crime stats, citations, and traffic collisions.
Okay, the monthly crime stats we presented at City Council. I think we were a little backwards. This was supposed to be for City Council usually, right?
Correct.
So I hate to, for those of you that have already heard it, but we had an extremely good month in July. I will tell you, I do not think we are going to repeat this in August. August will still be low, but we had a total of 3 or 1 crimes in July. 2 residential burglaries. One was a forced entry through a side gate. The loss was some computers and cash. And then the second residential burglary was an unknown method of entry. I'm sorry. There was no signs of any forced entry, so it's possible the door was maybe just left unlocked. But what was interesting was the loss was women's clothing and a stove.
Yeah.
So I've never seen a stove stolen. That's one's new for me. And then the third crime that we had was a petty theft where purse, wallet, backpack, cash, driver's license, and school ID were taken from an unlocked vehicle. So it's possible that if we would have just locked our stuff, we would either have had 2 or maybe even just 1 crime for the entire month, which is pretty fantastic.
Does that have anything to do with the pictures that were on that social media that of people in the backyard, that one?
No, that one of those was deemed to be unfounded.
Okay.
I think what this has to do was is that we made a significant arrest of the person that was committing all of the construction burglaries.
And that's possibly the picture or no? That picture has nothing to do with anything?
No.
Okay.
Accidents were down pretty significantly as well too. A total of 2 traffic accidents, both were non-injury. Both were single vehicle, where one of the accidents, the driver hit the center median, And the other accident, the driver hit the utility pole. And that is the extent of the crime report.
I have a point to make here. A number of the residents are using alternative crime information sites, volunteer neighborhood ones.
Next Door.
Next Door is one of them. There is, each of those can be, input can come from a citizen. And we've noted, I think Mary mentioned this last June, that we have cases where there was a tremendous traffic jam at Lemon and Santiago, and avoid the area. Well, there was nothing there. It was high school kids trying to create a little activity. So you got to watch out. Some of these other alternative sites aren't truthful. The kids love to do things like that. Well, I did when I was 15. But there's also the fact that some of the information is not within the city of Mill Park that occurs. What we're hearing from the sheriff's department is what occurs in Mill Park. They may be in an area very close to us or just across the line or something. So some of the citizens think that our sheriff's department, our blotter is deficient in that it isn't reporting all activities. Well, they're comparing it to these social access sites. So if you hear anyone talking about that, ask them which site they obtained that information and try to straighten that out, because our sheriff's department, I think, is doing a great job. And
I agree.
So there are those in town that would be critical of it. And I think that's unfair and undeserved.
Well, if I can add on to what Wayne is saying, another community that I serve that borders LA County really enlightened me to the fact of what I would consider being malicious social media by citizens, to the point where we had to deal with an issue where there was somebody using a fake social media identity through Next Door to be able to really enrage the community about a transient population that was using different flood control channels as a basically criminal superhighway to burglarize everything. And we were shocked because the statistics, the facts, didn't support an uptick in crime. So we almost boiled it down to there was two types of incidents we deal with, fact-based incidents or rumor-based incidents. And I don't think any community, now that social media is on the uprise, is immune from that. Because we've even slightly experienced that here in the city, where somebody on social media put something out, and maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but we conduct an investigation. However, sometimes that can cause an uprise in the community. I don't know if uprise is the right word, this isn't a revolution.
A rumor,
thank you, better word. I feel like a dictator all of a sudden. But we have to be cognizant of that, right? And let the facts play out. And what we have, one of the things that I enjoy about these meetings are, these are fact-based meetings that we can have different members of the community come together to talk about rumors, and we can either confirm or deny, and we can talk about the facts. And I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah, on a positive note, the entrance out here off of Santiago, where it says City Hall, Sheriff,
yes.
Library, I think it's impressive.
It's
good. I mean, you got to think that somebody's coming through here and sees the sheriff in this center. Hopefully they stay out of here.
Yeah, that was an initiative by our interim city manager, Don Powell. We had a break-in at the drugstore while he was here, and he thought, well, that might be a way to highlight the fact that we've got sheriff deputies coming in and out. You might want to think of another drugstore to hit.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out too, this around here that's showing crime on the rise in Orange County, and you know, we look at Villa Park and we look at the sister city, Yorba Linda, you know, and you see, you know, with all these propositions of change, you see Villa Park and Yorba Linda, you know, the crime's dropped 10% to 1%, where there's been some cities, South County, some up in North County, where you've seen 50% plus increases in crime. So I think that's to commend the sheriff's department and the fact that, you know, he's willing to come here and listen to us every other month, you know, keeping him from his family and throwing out suggestions that he's implementing with his staff. And I think the combination of the two is working really well, especially in this city. And I'd really like to recognize
you know, Lieutenant Puckett for his efforts on that and his staff as well.
Yes, you supervise both Yorba Linda and Villa Park, correct?
No, sir. Villa Park has their own lieutenant, but I've got pretty much everything else.
Okay. Well, here we are in a sea of orange, which means 30 to 39% increase, and we actually went down, which is...
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, I just appreciate the teamwork of this group and being allowed to be part of this team.
We appreciate it. Okay, anything else? We'll go ahead and move on to Community Emergency Response Team. Tom, you weren't here our last meeting, and so I don't think we got much of an update there. So anything you could provide for where we stand on CERT?
In the program.
Okay.
We officially don't have a program. Reason being, one, CERT is not self-activated. Somebody in authority, a paid member of the city staff, has to activate us. And right now that falls on our city manager, AC Emergency. I can't remember the title she gave me, but you're the head duty charge. I was able to finally get into the FEMA site and downloaded our registration with FEMA. Point of contact there is one Jorge Garcia. This is dated 2004. It has not been updated. I met with CMAP, Community Mutual Aid Program, the other day, of which there are some 14 or 15 cities in Orange County. We are invited to join, but we've got to meet the criteria, and I'm not going to go through all of it right now, but basically we have to meet certain standards, among them being when certain members are on assignment, they have to be covered by workers' comp. That's in the California code. I'm not sure what that might apply to PSR too. I haven't read the whole code section yet. But it's basically anybody that's a volunteer emergency worker has to be covered by workers' comp in the state of California. CMAP has some money available that we can get access to if we choose to participate in it.
That's CMAP acronym. What does that stand for? Do you know?
County Mutual Aid Program. And it's made up of the CERT programs, and I can mention a few of them, Laguna Beach, Orange, Anaheim, I think Yorba Linda is in there too, Tustin, there were more than I could keep track of, but I can get that information. But the city's going to have to make some decisions as to whether, one, we want to participate, two, to the best of my knowledge, there's four courses required to be a, quote, CMAP volunteer. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only one that's completed three of them. One more I have to take. The first one, of course, being the CERT basic training. Second one being CERT train the trainer, which I've taken. There are two others that have to do with incident command. And the fourth one, which I have not taken, is program management. Except for the first two, all of the others are available online and they're free, and you can take them at your own pace. Now, I had a little bit of difficulty there because I tried to go into the FEMA website and it was down. Seems somebody's been trying to hack FEMA. So the information there was a little difficult to come by. That's basically, you know, where we're at right now. We need to get it established on the books, our certification updated.
So right now our CERT program sits at you and only you at this point, is basically
well,
what you're saying.
I started off with a list of 50 people.
Okay.
Sent out an email, and this has been a while back. I got a response back from 13, one of whom decided that she was too old to do it anymore, and she turned her gear in. The grant money that's available would help us to replace that equipment that has disappeared into the woodwork. And that includes is the manuals, the books, the backpacks or bags, whichever the case might be, vests, helmets, gloves, maybe
radios.
Pardon me?
Radios.
Radio. I think we've got some radios, but it would be good to get them back. We really need an upgraded radio. I have never heard a squawk out.
So any suggestions what we do going forward to try to get this back up and going? Anyone got anything?
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm going to package up all of the stuff that I have. I've already given part of it to Mr. Franks. I'll give the rest of it. See if we can go from there. I did download and modify where I put it here, an agreement form that the City of Orange used, and I updated it to the Villa Parks. And basically, it's by the individual members relieving the city of liability other than workers' comp, stating that they've had the appropriate training, that they have medical insurance to cover for I'll call it work-related or volunteer-related incidents. But I'll give this to him also, and he can maybe have the legal staff look over it.
Now, you're actually trying to resurrect CERT. When did we last have an active CERT program? Was it back in 2004 or?
About 3 years ago.
Oh, really? That recent?
Okay. And we had people that were, you know, coming to meetings when there were meetings, which were a little bit sporadic. That's something else that goes in the registration is how often do you have meetings, how often do you have practice drills, how many incidents have you actually responded to. Fortunately, in the City of Villa Park, that number right now is zero. I think the only emergency we had, and I don't know what CERT would have been of any help, was when the culvert washed out in the northern part of the city.
Do you think if you had some additional help, that would be advantageous to kind of getting us out of the deep trouble situation that we're in and kind of getting some clarification?
We need somebody appointed that is a city paid employee to be the contact person.
Okay. Well, typically in a situation like this, correct me if I'm wrong, is the city manager, and I'm pretty sure he'd make that call without any issue.
But then the other issue is the workers' comp.
Okay, right, and that's another issue altogether.
When Mayor Bell was mayor up here many years ago, two or three city managers ago, Mary and I were asked to start a CERT program in Bell Park. And we went to Placentia and went through the training and became qualified, not just trainers, but as members. And we held our certification, which I think just expired last year. At any rate, we proceeded to bring a group together, and we had a pretty sizable number at that time. Was it 30 or 40?
Well, the list I inherited was 50. 50 names on it.
Okay, that was about right. And people were younger, and a lot of them moved away, some have passed on. But the point here is that the obstacle was just what Tom was outlining. The bureaucracy that's imposed upon it is a stumbling block for most of the people that we had. It came down to the fact that our point man lived in Walnut, not here, and he was the only person that could start an activity if there was an event. Mm-hmm. So the thing, and then they added to it that we had to be available to go outside the city to respond to wherever the regional authority felt we had they needed the help.
That's only in RC now.
Okay. And then the third thing happened, you're doing this, we've got to get official here, and you've got to fingerprint all of your people. Everybody has to come in and be fingerprinted. That stopped everything. People then questioned whether or not they were covered, if they were assisting someone in an accident on the freeway, could they be sued for causing injury rather than helping? Mm-hmm. And we had a state representative that I believe Deborah Pauley helped us with that to get a law passed statewide. What did they call it? Good Samaritan law?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, you guys know what that is. So that exempted CERT members from that liability potential. But by that time, we lost the membership and the interest in it. And we decided, well, we'll keep it active as a quasi-informal operation. We had the trailer out here. We had radios. We had equipment. And the city of Placentia provided training for us here, training shops. And we held quarterly. I got down to semi-annual, but the people kept dropping out. We just never could get it back again. Mary and I got into Neighborhood Watch, which seemed more timely. But Tom has been kind enough to pick it up, and here he is trained now, better trained than I was, as from studying the paperwork on it. And the question here is, will it go in Villa Park if you enforce all of these regulations that the higher authorities would impose on us in a bureaucratic way? I don't believe it will. I believe citizens won't volunteer to go through the extensive amount of training and qualification, but I'm sort of a burned out candle on the thing. So
I can tell you what I would like to do. And I was informed by the young lady over at Orange PD who heads up their program that it's a bunch of work. But I would like to set up a series of classes for the residents just to look after their own homes.
Amen.
Start that, build on that, have a series of classes that could eventually go into becoming a certified CERT member, which I realize maybe a handful will be interested in doing that. But when push comes to shove, if there is an emergency, and for using the term catastrophe because it's been overused the last couple of days, if we have one here, at least people would know what to do to look after their families and the people who are, quote, certified can draw on that help to help with the community, the various neighborhoods.
Tom, question. Do you have a copy of the City of Orange policies and procedures as it pertains to CERT?
Other than this one document, no, but I will see if I can get one.
Okay, I think that might be a good starting place.
They don't call it CERT. It's another...
They have another name for it,
right.
But it amounts to the same thing. And again, I have been offered a lot of help from the CMAN organization. I attended as a guest, not as a member, because I simply don't have the authority to say, yes, we will.
Okay.
But there are some specific requirements in terms of training. I didn't find anything that said they had fingerprinted. I think they would like them to carry some form of ID to identify the fact, you know, you can't carry your search until you get around with it. But you could, but not be too practical.
So it kind of sounds like we almost need like some type of umbrella workers' comp policy to cover these folks with their work. Is that cost prohibitive, Steve, or is that?
Gets pretty chunky.
Okay, I mean, so
yeah, because
you know,
workers' comp, yeah, it's an outside entity that decides what the cost is. We don't get to decide our own cost.
You know, the worries about that is someone's coming in representing the city, working for the city and everything else, and then they do get hurt, we don't have them covered, and then you have potential liabilities and everything else along those lines. So, I mean, I think as a city, obviously, you know, and obviously city council is going to make that decision, is you have to weigh, you know, pros versus cons and how much value they add to the city versus the cost.
And we have no volunteers.
And we have no volunteers. So
this particular document, which if somebody wants to profess to be working for the city as a volunteer, they've got to sign this.
Which means they're not going to hold the city accountable?
Pardon me?
Does that basically they're not going to hold the city accountable then, or what is
that? Basically relieves the city of liability.
But they still are but you said the city's required, but we still have to provide workers' comp.
Yeah, the city will carry a deep pocket responsibility regardless. So we may have that, but they can still sue us. Anybody can sue anybody.
Anybody can sue.
So, I mean, we just have to be cognizant that the workers' comp is probably the issue that's costly.
Right.
I think the issue we need to address here, I realize that these are some of the challenges or obstacles to doing it. But the fact is, we've seen what happens in Houston, and people have managed to pull themselves together. But here we were told, if we have a major earthquake and disaster that's countywide or region-wide, we have to be prepared to take care of ourselves for at least 3 days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you guys know this because you've been trained. The schools, you're going to go where the schools are, and then maybe the shopping, wherever the most people are congested that need help.
Which doesn't include Bill Park.
And it doesn't include Bill Park.
It does not.
Right. So we need a certain organization to protect the community, and each of us, we'd like to like neighborhood watch. We'd like to have a representative in every neighborhood. So there's a go-to person. But one time, Tom, we started a list of who has equipment to chainsaws, and because, you know, those things happen. How do we lift the garage door off of somebody that's trapped under it? And you have a jack and blocks and levers and got a cell phone.
How would you guys feel the next crime fair we do when we had the next time we had it, we implement another portion of that as far as, you know, self-survival, as far as preparing for disaster, you know, maybe add that as a segment to what we've already done. I mean, we want to get the word out. Maybe that's an avenue we can maybe look at using down the road.
Well, I think that's what you're suggesting, Tom. So maybe we could do that, is to have a home security fair will be probably the next one we have next year. We can plan to include that. That's home safety.
And in the meantime, sounds like you got a good liaison, City of Orange. I mean, if you want to touch base some more, I mean, I think we're kind of at this crossroads right now to whether we want to continue this in the city or we don't. And I think, you know, certainly, you know, if it's cost prohibitive, time prohibitive, and we're not going to get the volunteers, we might need to look at maybe scrapping it. Probably not ready to do that right this minute, but I think it's something we need to consider.
I think there's hope. I think there's, if this community has shown a desire to volunteer, a desire to step up, we have organizations like the Community Services Foundation and Rotary, the Women's League, Bill Park Little League, other entities in and around town, Investment Advisory Committee, the LEAC. We've got people that want to step up. I think we're just lacking a little bit of coordination, a little bit of direction. We do have some significant questions that need to be answered, but there might be perhaps a technical or even legal way around some of these hurdles. But I think it's worth exploring. I think it's worth digging into. I think it's worth shedding a little bit more light on this. I appreciate your time. I know you've spent quite a bit on this. I know the lieutenants spent some time, and Steve spent some time, Wayne has spent some time, and I completely understand where John's coming from on this. But I think, as John was saying, I think it's a little too early for us to throw the towel in. Let's bear down on this. Let's get some answers to some questions so we have the information to make an intelligent decision moving forward. And I've got some other ideas that might help.
Okay,
out
you got to get the word out.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people are going to volunteer.
Absolutely. I've got some ideas that I'm thinking about just off the top of my head, but let me flesh those out, and then hopefully we can work on this.
Yeah, maybe an idea would be to do this a little more informally, maybe not work directly through this national search thing. But,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Do something more informal so we can avoid the... Right. Liability or the insurance issues and so forth.
FEMA entanglements, perhaps.
One of the successes, candidly, of Neighborhood Watch is that it's separate from...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It can all be done there.
Well, gentlemen, if I may, I think the councilman's absolutely correct because we open ourselves up to wild liability with the CERB program and people who are just kind of ad hoc in the train. One thing that I think that was brought up that was of interest was making that paradigm shift from an actual team that goes out for emergency response, which traditionally is CERT at its core, to making it more of an informal, we're going to train everybody how to handle the emergencies at their own home, which gives us latitude. One thing I would suggest that you look at, I'll pass this around, is the Red Cross has a disaster academy, and I believe the enrollment's about $85 a person. Looking through the criteria and the classes they have in there seems to fit a little bit more with that paradigm shift that you're talking about. So maybe that's something of interest that you want to explore a little further, that may solve a lot of the issues that we're talking about today.
Well, I think one of the strengths that we've got in our community that we could use to leverage is the Neighborhood Watch, because that's communications is key, and Neighborhood Watch seems to have that done pretty well.
Well, there's a lot of good organizations in town to get the word out. Villa Park Motorscape's got a great.
I think if we raise the visibility a little bit on this,
we can get an article in the paper.
Right, and I think the council can step up and do a little bit more on that too.
Let's outline what we want to do first.
Let me think about that too. I've got some ideas. Just throwing some stuff out. I think taking the technical title of CERT out of the equation and FEMA may help things. Assuming we can do that.
Yeah, the other thing I think might not be a bad thought on this too, at least for planning, it's like, you know, is maybe your block captains can also look at things like threat assessments in their block areas to see, you know, particular residents that might be elderly, they're more at risk than others, or maybe locations within those areas that are at higher risk of, you know, if we did have major floods or if we did have something that might be areas of concern, you know, and just kind of an overall threat assessment to look at, you know, what areas might need particular interest. And then, you know, parlay that into their training as well, so they would know where to respond and what to do if something happened.
That's a good point. And those are things that are on the list of things we ask that each Neighborhood Watch captain to get to know their neighbors.
Yeah.
On our street, Tom, how many widows? We just lost one today, I think. She passed away, Lisa.
She did. I hadn't heard that yet.
We just got word. You know, if they're living alone or infirm, there are people. Once your family's secure, then you got to go out and make sure they're okay.
Yep.
We need to get organized.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's move on to a Neighborhood Watch program. Anything there, Wayne?
I think I've talked enough.
Okay. All right. PSR program, Jay's not here to provide anything on that. Lieutenant, do you have anything on that you can share?
Just an update. They're being out there proactive, probably not to the level of we'd like to see, but they're getting out there at least twice a month.
Okay.
And I think with an all-volunteer program, that's about the best that we're going to get.
Is there been any, have they done anything with that crime flyer that we talked about the last meeting? I think we had looked at a sample of a flyer that we might be passing out as far as...
I don't know if we ever finalized the one that we were going to send out, but I'll tell you the urgency on that dwindled based on the arrest that we made.
Right. Oh, in the construction, we give that with every building permit.
Right, okay.
So everybody walks in the door.
Right, okay.
For a building permit gets
out. And I agree with you. The stats don't really indicate right now. I mean, maybe that's something we can look at, you know, down the road, but...
On the PSR front, I had the good fortune and honor of going out and helping out the Sheriff's Department this weekend at Villa Park High School, putting the numbers up on the building there, and bringing a little awareness to active shooter situations. And I had the opportunity to speak with Vice Principal Mike Lee, who is the PSR Sergeant. And I asked him, based upon some concerns that a council member mentioned about PSRs driving too fast in the neighborhood, and he hadn't heard any reports or didn't have anything to share with me about that. One thing that he wanted to encourage the PSRs to do was make sure that they actively call in suspicious activity. And rather than kind of him and haw, call it in, be that contact person. But overall, he seems happy with the program and moving forward, and echoed the exact sentiments of the lieutenant. So I think we're going in the right direction, just a little slow. Our crime is looking great, and again, echoing what everybody else said, the Sheriff's Department's doing a fantastic job.
Thanks, Rick.
I would only offer, we have two very underutilized cars out there.
Exactly.
That could certainly use a lot more activity. Mike literally comes in and starts them on Saturday, so they'll be running. So he runs them for half an hour while he watches them.
How many PSRs are there now?
We're still maintaining at 4.
A couple of them dropped out for a time.
For what?
Just other personal reasons they couldn't be active.
So we're still at 4, though.
Four PSRs in
right.
The area. One of whom actually lives in Tustin.
Right.
We were at 6.
Oh, okay. What about the regular reserves? Are they coming out anymore, or can we use them, or you know?
No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm happy to say that The North Patrol Bureau, which includes the city of Villa Park, has unquestionably the most robust reserve program in the department, because we provide them monthly training and put them to task. The issue is when things like the fair come up, that's a mandatory. All reserve forces are at the fair for 5 weeks.
But certainly they could use these vehicles, couldn't they, if they
They could. It's just a matter of I can't order it.
Right.
You know, they're volunteering to come out to ride with deputies.
Right.
So, but if it was in a pinch, for example, if we had a crime spree and we needed to get those flyers out, unquestionably that's an asset we would put in place.
Very good. Okay, moving on. G, crime prevention and traffic safety, discussion of new ideas and or proposals. Anyone got anything?
I got one thing. Our new website, I don't know if folks were aware of it, we're putting out a new website. I think it's going to be a fantastic addition to what's going on in the city. And we're going to be able to put out requests for volunteers and some more exciting stuff that, frankly, we didn't have the capability of doing with the old website. So it would probably be in our best interest to put out recruitment info for PSRs, for CERT, when we kind of get that ironed out a little bit more. And we will, in my opinion, I think, have a great venue to put the request out there and maybe get some feedback, get some assistance. It's going to be a little more interactive than the old website, much more user-friendly. Maybe some online applications. So, as far as other stuff, I don't have anything.
One item, I think. School started again, and one of the things that has been a problem among the merchants has been the loitering of the school, of the high school students. And some people actually would like to come up here and shop because the kids get a little bit, even right here in the city hall, lolling over the tables and leaving drink containers and so forth, trash builds up. And I don't know how to do this, but if I were on council, I would suggest that the liaison, the school committee, meet and discuss. I mean, school's out at a certain hour, and parents don't get home from work 2 hours later or something. And the kids don't really have a place to congregate in the, like a park or something. And I don't know really what the solution is, but the shopping center isn't a good place for them to loiter. And I know that Ralph's had to actually have them leave their backpacks in the front, wouldn't allow them to go on in the store because of shoplifting. So we don't want to motivate crime by these kids. Out of, my kids, I'd have chores at home for them.
I know there's been some efforts to curb that with some of the, I know Deputy Benjamin was working on that with some school security folks that were coming
around
and
morning,
take care of
that. Was that early morning hour?
I think the afternoon, I think they've dropped off. They've developed an after-school program at the junior high to try and get some of the activities. Because the kids get dropped off here, and then they go at late start or whatever, but the kids are dropped here in the morning, and then they come here in the afternoon. So probably some of the transients that people are reporting, I'm guessing, are students.
I'm guessing.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what they are. They're right out here. You can come see them.
Deputy Van
in the afternoon.
Is, in my opinion, very proactive.
Absolutely.
So if there is an issue and it's within his legal capability of dealing with it, he will deal with it, even if it's a matter of just having a consensual conversation with him to kind of shoot them along.
Villa Park. We'll send security officers over here, and so will the junior high. They send their they've started sending their people over here on Wednesday mornings because that's a late start.
I went on a little unofficial ride along with them one morning right before it ended, and the security guards do a lot. In fact, the security guards do more than the actually me can.
Yeah,
because they got it's you know the school is responsible for those kids when they leave the house. Correct me if I'm wrong. When they leave the house, go to school, they're under the control of the school as soon as they leave their house, and the same when they go home. So they leave that when they leave the school until they get home, they're under the control of the school security and the school responsibility. So, and I think that's how you get the truancy and stuff like that, and that can be obviously given to the sheriff's department, but they do a pretty good job. It's completely asinine, though, that the disaster that they cause. It actually should literally be changed. I do not know why we have late start on Wednesday. There is absolutely no reason for it. I don't even understand it.
Teachers' meetings, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, I mean, have a meeting after. Coffee it's hour. it's ridiculous. I walked through there, the store, Ralph's. They have this huge thing of backpacks because everyone was stealing stuff. And you know, obviously Ralph's isn't calling and saying, "Hey, sheriff, they're stealing stuff and whatever." They just know that they're getting stuff's getting stolen, so they make them all put their backpacks in a pile. Right in the front. And I'm just like, this is incredible.
Wednesday,
all because of school starts
Wednesday
late.
Morning they have, and Lieutenant Buck's been very helpful. The junior high kids started literally doing what they would call a fight club
behind
Ralph's, and they publish it on YouTube
yep.
and call kids out. So we've had black and whites rolling on Wednesday mornings as a result
yeah.
because they're back there. I mean, they're the kids go back there, and I mean, I'm not
fight.
No employees going to want to run and jump
yeah.
in.
And I think they know this, that you know the security folks and Deputy Benzie, you know that you got to mix up the times you're out there, because once they know this is going to be time someone's always out there, they're going to avoid it and they're going to find another time to go. So
well,
it's got to be a fluid
it's
thing.
Way beyond that. It's honestly beyond that to where the school needs to be talked to. They the parents of the kids that are there literally confronted me. Benzie knew it was going to happen. And they actually confronted him and came up and said, "You can't kick him out, you can't do this, you can't do that." And I was like, this is unreal. It was unreal. About I was there when one of those fights in the back, you know, obviously everyone was gone by the time they got over there. But it was, it's a joke, to be honest. And it's pretty much, you know, the school district's fault. And it should be handled by them.
You mean the parents are confronting the deputies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're confronting them, saying, why do you get to say that they're not going in there? And the deputies aren't doing that. Deputies aren't saying that they can't go into Bagel Me or they can't go into Rouse, they can't do anything like that. But the presence of them is causing the parents to say that that's what you're doing. You're preventing them from going into these stores. And it was two parents. It was at two different times. Because I was out here for an hour. It was incredible. I can't believe the school gets away with it.
I would say, though, that the sheriff is extremely responsive in dealing with it.
Yes, absolutely.
But you've got 16-year-old kids skateboarding out here or whatever, and you know, literally, my staff are intimidated. You know, some of these kids are big kids. They just don't want to go out, and they yeah. don't want to stop a fight or start. You know, kids are having romance sessions out here, and they don't want to.
It is too much for.
It's pretty much an interesting experience to sit there. We got like a movie view.
If you guys haven't seen it, just
it's the sheriff's extremely responsible.
Who'd you ride with Deputy Benzie?
No, I didn't do any ride-alongs.
Okay.
I was there.
Well, it's unprofessional.
I was there for a good portion of it.
Okay.
You bring up an interesting point that sometimes security guards can do more than local law
yes.
enforcement based on the issues that we're dealing with. I think one of the things that we talked about in the past was, has anybody approached any of the store owners in this complex about getting a security guard for the area?
And also, I keep the word escapes me. I'm sorry, I've already thrown it out there. There's a where the owners of,
association.
Yeah, like they can say, hey, during this time, you know, they can not allow or whatever, and give the sheriff's department the right to make any arrests they deem possible. Or mm-hmm. It's called a letter of agency, I think. That's something in LA County maybe, but it's something similar. It's basically saying the sheriff's department can do this. You're not like Ralph's can say the sheriff's department can enforce no trespassing. They can enforce this. It's almost like a private person tow type scenario.
Right.
Where they can enforce those things. Now, obviously, I don't know. It's impossible. You don't have enough people in the, you know, enough sheriff's deputies to do that. So security on, for that matter, could. They could actually, the security guards could actually take them out of there and take them back to the school. You know, to solve problems of maybe fighting or something like that. But I think some pressure needs to be put on the schools. It's, you know, that much problems for just to have a late start is a little ridiculous to me, but that's me.
So,
I have a kid that goes there, so.
Tom.
Would PSR presence be of any value, and would it be authorized?
No.
Okay, forget the question.
Sorry. It strikes too much of an enforcement role prior to TSR response.
So tomorrow we'll start
reporting and observe and pass out flyers and things like that.
Yeah, that's yeah. the idea I had in mind.
I think we.
You go up there, it's interesting.
Too close.
Yeah. But thank you, though.
I get out of bed.
Okay.
Thanks. I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we off?
Yes. Go ahead.
We were very fortunate that on Sunday we were able to complete a major milestone as part of our school campus safety program of having a construction company donate about $10,000 worth of material and labor to paint numbers on the tops and the sides of the buildings at Phillip Park High School, which increases response for active shooter situations and further emergencies. Deputy Brian Benzi and Deputy Mike Lee were pretty instrumental in this. We've been featured on ABC News this morning.
Tonight, it was on Tonight. Yeah.
Tonight?
Oh, yeah, he showed me the clip. He was in there showing it to anybody who watched.
I would say, number one, I really appreciate all of the members of the council and the city manager for their support with this, and I appreciate the members of the council that graced us with their time to come down on Sunday. It was very nice to have everybody down there. I would ask, if possible, and I don't know if we've done this with the city before, I'd like to bring in Brian Benzi and Mike Lee to the next city council meeting just to recognize them for their efforts. And I don't know if there's any type of
Absolutely.
Certificate we can present them, but maybe that's something that the city manager and I can talk about offline. The work they did was nothing short of amazing. To get that many assets brought into an affluent community but have it donated for free is pretty damn impressive.
How about recognize the donors too?
We would definitely, that's a great idea actually. I will, if the committee's okay with that, I'd like to.
Absolutely.
Present that as well, too. Okay.
Should come from the schools.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and adjourn. Looks like we have a pending date for our next meeting on October 9th.
6:30.
At 6:30. That's a Monday night. Does that work for everyone?
I'll be in Hawaii. Yeah, I'm going with it. I'll be here.
Is there a date that would work better for you?
Anything other than the dates, I'll be in Hawaii. I'll be there, I'll be gone the Monday the 2nd, return the night of Tuesday the 10th.
Tuesday the 10th.
Oh, darn. Ready to get in sunburns. Anything else looks good.
Does the 16th work for everyone?
Hold on.
I'm sorry, I won't be available the 16th. Okay. I'm available the 10th and the 11th.
10th and the 11th.
And the 24th and 25th.
Okay.
But I think the 24th is probably city council, right?
Probably. How would the 10th work for you, Mike?
October 10th? I'm gone.
You're still gone, okay.
I come back that night.
You come back that night, okay. I didn't know if it was a night flight or a day flight.
An early flight.
Yeah. Can we do Wednesday the 11th? Does that work for everyone?
Working the Ducks game.
Listen, princess.
What about the 24th?
What day is that? Is that a Wednesday?
That's a Tuesday night.
I think that's city council.
That's council meeting. Did you say you're available on the 23rd?
I am not, sir.
You're not, okay. The 25th?
That's going to be the Community Service Foundation meets. We can meet just in another room, but just so you know, it's not. They've already booked this room.
They have, okay. Well, why don't we just stick to the 9th, and we'll just be envious of Mike sipping on Mai Tais on Waikiki Beach. So we'll keep it at the 9th then, at 6:30. All right, good enough. Thank you.